In November 2006, Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin was reelected to her fifth term in the U.S. House of Representatives. Please welcome U.S. Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin.
Thank you, Oscar. I am delighted to join you. And welcome to Wisconsin's 27th annual tribute and ceremony honoring Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. This day is an important day in our nation and in Wisconsin, where this event has the distinction of being the oldest official state ceremony in America. And that is something very special. From the state capitol in Madison, we begin with an invocation by Minister Carlton Porter from New Beginnings CMA Church in Madison.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, most gracious and wonderful God, we come before you this day thanking you for your many blessings that you have graciously bestowed upon each one of us here today. We are thankful for the many disciples that you have placed on this earth to do your work. We are thankful, Heavenly Father, for the gift of life and the life of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. We thank you for his dream, his sacrifices, his endurance, his strength, his perseverance in the struggle for freedom, justice, and equality for all. Heavenly Father, as we commemorate Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., let us not forget the son, the husband, father, reverend, and civil rights leader. Let us not forget the sacrifices made by those individuals who went before him, those individuals who stood alongside of him, and those who are rising up after him in the struggle for freedom, justice, and equality for all people. And let us not forget his words. And even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream deeply rooted in the American dream, a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Heavenly Father, as we remember the dream of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., help us to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing our minds, that we may become motivated, dedicated, and educated for the struggle of freedom, justice, and equality for all people. Help us, dear God, to eradicate discrimination that destroys the soul of a nation, the strength of a community, and the hope of a person, and teach us to love our neighbor as we will love ourselves. Help us, dear God, to remember those behaviors that destroy the moral fiber of our individual and collective communities, and teach us to love our neighbor as we will love ourselves. Help us, dear God, to eliminate hatred that flows throughout our neighborhoods, schools, and workplaces and nation, and teach us to love our neighbor as we will love ourselves. Heavenly Father, as we pray on this day, that this commemoration penetrates the heart, mind, and soul of every man, woman, and child present here today, and move us all in a mighty way to understand, forgive, and love all of your children for the common good of mankind. In doing so, we tear down the walls of discrimination, we tear down the walls of injustice, and we tear down the walls of inequality, and we make the King dream a reality. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray, amen.
Thank you, Reverend Porter. As in years past, today's celebration of Dr. King's life and legacy is offered through words and music. Performing now is the choir from High Point Church and the Highway to Heaven Band with a selection called Sing Joy.
One, two, three, four.
know him as a Wisconsin public radio host, others as a conductor, and others still as a concert artist who performs the national anthem for the UW men's basketball games. He is also the executive producer of our state tribute to Dr. King. Here is Wisconsin's own Jonathan Overby.
A burn in the storm so long, a burn in that storm so long, Jesus, a burn. Storm so long. Oh, give me little time to pray. A burn in that storm so long. A burn in that storm so long. Storm so long, oh, give me little time to pray. Oh, when I get to heaven, I'll walk all about. Oh, give me little time to pray. There'll be nobody there to put. Oh, give me little time to pray. A burn in the storm so long. A burn in that storm so long, children. A burn in that storm so long. Me out, gonna walk all about, gonna do my dance and shout. Oh, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me little time to pray.
Thank you very much, and again, welcome to Wisconsin's commemoration of Dr. King's birthday. Our theme today is the road less traveled, and I'm honored today to MC this affair with Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin. How about that, folks? Her mission is shared by many on this very dais, including being a leading advocate for universal health care, a forceful supporter of civil rights, and an advocate for those in our society whose voices too often are not heard. Thank you, Tammy Baldwin, for your leadership. But she is not alone. She is not alone. Please join me in recognizing this inclusive dais. A dais of civic leaders, elected and appointed state and local officials, community advocates and agency leaders, folks from diverse backgrounds and different ethnic backgrounds, powerful professional women who certainly have their own story about the road less traveled. There are teachers up here and preachers who also are in attendance. They are here today not only because they want to remember Dr. King, but also the King in King's life. I welcome them today, and I ask them to stand, and I want you to give them a big King round of applause, because they're here because they want to honor King as well. Please stand, all of you on the dais, please. Thank you. And now, music from Milwaukee's All Saints Gospel Choir, attired in African clothing, with a song that's called "We're All Children of the Sea."
This song is dedicated to all the children of the tsunami and Katrina.
They saw a world dying.
We're all children of the sea.
We're all children of the sea.
Crying out for unity.
Crying out for unity.
The water that touches you.
The water that touches you. Children of the sea. We've lost families and we've lost friends. Seems like the whole world is coming to an end. But there's hope that starts from above. And together we're sending. Children of the sea. I know there's
From Milwaukee. The Highway to Heaven Band performs again for Wisconsin's state celebration of Dr. King's birthday, who, by the way, loved spirituals and gospel music. Perhaps that was one of the many reasons he married Coretta Scott, herself a fine singer. Here's Highway to Heaven with an arrangement of Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Tell it on the mountain that you
Highway to Heaven. Today is indeed a celebration of Dr. King's life, in both words and certainly in music. And speaking of music, we have a special privilege today to be graced with the talents of West African singer and recording artist from Togo, Yawo, who takes the stage now with a special musical tribute to Dr. King called Dream King, which also features percussionist Eddie Gaborzi and the Colin Jolly Dancers, along with Call for Peace.
Omaleke siwoke obampe obampe. Hey, Mr. Dream King, where are you going? With a bucket full of stars hanging on your shoulders. Say, hey, Mr. Dream King, where are you flying? Flying, flying high. Oh, my leke siwoke, oh, bampe, oh, bampe, don't pele, don't pele, don't. Igo sanwetini, oke, oh, woke, ligo tahe, don't pele, don't pele, don't. Opelo pepepe, opelo pepepe, don't pele, don't pele, don't. Igo sanwetini, oke, oh, woke, ligo tahe, don't pele, don't pele, don't. Oh, Igo san, e bonwe. Go some, he go some egg pump, ne go go wa. He go some, oh my legacy, woke up on pay. Don't pay the door. Oh brother, he go some wakini, okay, oh walk a legal tie, don't pay the door, pay the door. Opelo pepepe, opelo pepepe. Oh brother, he go solo. Opelo pepepe, opelo pepepe, don't pele, don't pele, don't pele, don't pele, ha, 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 mi go manga, aja nego, ngadante, omaleke siwoke, don't pele, don't, mi go sanwe kini, don't pele, don't, opelo pepepe, opelo pepepe, ah, solo.
Yawo and our heritage dancers today at the King event. Give them a big hand, please. It has been our tradition here at this event to stand and sing together, united, arms locked together, in the spirit of peace against any type of hatred that keeps communities and nations divided. Please stand with your hands interlocked with a neighbor as we sing, "We Shall Overcome."
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall.
Remain standing. Please remain standing now in memory of Dr. King's profound sense of love for others. I invite you to share a greeting with a stranger standing near you in the spirit of good community. Please turn to someone that you do not know and give them a welcome, a community greeting. To those of you listening to our broadcast, the theme of this year's Wisconsin celebration of Dr. King's birthday is the road less traveled. And as the nation's oldest annual state celebration, we gather in the rotunda at the state capitol to pay tribute to Dr. King's legacy of love, his desire for a more peaceful world, and his dedication to justice and equality for all. Today, may each of us make a difference by standing up for the equality, as did Dr. King. Beginning this day, let us make a difference by reaffirming the ideals of freedom, justice, and equality, and opportunity for all Americans, and not just some. Today, following in the steps of those who have gone before, let us choose the road less traveled that leads to equality for all. Let us reaffirm our love, compassion, and respect for all of humanity, particularly for those who are living on the margins of life. Today, let us dare to journey down the road less traveled by carrying with us the badge of justice toward our families, our friends, neighbors, and co-workers, by dedicating ourselves to a life of service for the betterment of humankind.
In just a few moments, we'll hear from our guest speaker. But first, here's Highway to Heaven Band with a number called "He Keeps Me Singing."
Jesus whispered. learn, and I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. All my life hurt by sin and strife, discord filled my heart with pain. But Jesus wept across the broken string.
Today is Roland S. Martin, a nationally award-winning journalist, syndicated columnist, and the author of two publications, Listening to the Spirit Within, 50 Perspectives on Faith, and Speak, Brother, A Black Man's View of America. He also serves as executive editor of the Chicago Defender, the nation's largest black daily newspaper. Mr. Martin, former founding news editor for Savoy Magazine and commentator for TV One Cable Network and host of his own radio program on WVON-AM in Chicago, has appeared numerous times on CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, Court TV, BET Nightly News, BBC News, and National Public Radio. Martin, a 1991 graduate of Texas A&M University, where he earned a Bachelor's of Science degree in journalism, has won more than 20 professional awards for journalistic excellence, including a regional Edward R. Murrow Award. Martin is pursuing a master's degree at Louisiana Baptist University. Please join me in giving a warm Wisconsin welcome to Roland S. Martin.
Thanks a bunch. I'm certainly glad to be here. Let me thank Jonathan Overby and Africa Ask Communications for inviting me. Also want to recognize, you know, a man should always recognize his wife because she probably cut him off if you don't. Some of y'all will get that going home. My wife is Reverend Jackie Hood Martin. I also want to thank the folks at WXXM FM. They allowed me to do my radio show from here this morning. So that was so gracious of you, because Lord knows I didn't want to drive down here in the snow this morning. Let me also greet you in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am honored and privileged to stand before you today to honor a great American. Now, I didn't say a great African-American, a great American. And one of the greatest we've ever produced. We assemble here today to honor the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a son of Atlanta, Georgia, who went on to accomplish great and mighty deeds that forced this nation to uphold the ideals as outlined in the Declaration of Independence and also the U.S. Constitution. But we don't just stand here and give thanks to Dr. King. We also pay homage to Paul Robeson, a freedom fighter who had his livelihood taken from him because he chose to look America in its eye and tell her the truth about her hateful ways. We come here to say thanks to Ella Baker, one of the founders of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, a woman who history has not given enough credit for her contributions to the civil rights movement, and frankly, like most women who were involved in the civil rights movement. We come to honor Kwame Nkrumah, the African freedom fighter who led the country called the Gold Coast, which we now know as Ghana, to their independence. We also honor Patrice Lumumba, who led the Congo out of the death grip of Belgium and gave them their freedom. We thank Ralph Bunche, an American diplomat who was the first African American to ever win a Nobel Peace Prize. We also honor Fannie Lou Hamer, the youngest of 20 children, who with a sixth grade education, was one of the fiercest fighters for freedom and equality in Mississippi and the United States. We also honor Clarence Mitchell, who headed the NAACP's Washington, D.C. branch, whose lobbying was so intense on civil rights bills, they often called him the 101st United States Senator. We also pay homage to Callie House, a woman whose story was chronicled by Mary Frances Berry. In the book, My Face is Black is True, Callie House and the Struggle for Ex-Slave Reparations, she fought the U.S. government. They put her in jail for mail fraud, even though they were wrong, yet she still fought for the right to protest in this country. We also gather for the countless ex-slaves who used their meager resources to open up historically black colleges across this country. Most of them couldn't read, but they understood that in this world that you were black, there were two things you couldn't survive without: God and an education. I say all of those names because Dr. King is often given credit when thousands upon thousands stood with him to achieve so many different historic things in this nation. They stood with him from the south to the north, from the east to the west, and it's critical that they not go unnoticed on this day in celebration of this man. I'm equally proud to honor Dr. King because he's also a member of my fraternity, Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. And in 2008, this nation will honor him with the memorial on the National Mall, the first non-president and the first African-American ever so honored with the monument on the National Mall. And if you have not contributed to that cause, please do so. Go to mlkmemorial.org, mlkmemorial.org, and provide your contribution. So many corporations have contributed $73 million of the $100 million needed. But King wasn't a corporate brother. He was an everyday man, individual just like you. And so we need everyone to give their contribution to that memorial because that represents us, not just the King legacy. As I thought all week about what I was going to say, a bunch of different thoughts came to mind. Since we're in the midst of what has become an unpopular war, I thought about focusing on King's thoughtful and insightful speech against the Vietnam War, given at Riverside Church in New York City on April 4th, 1967, exactly 1 year before he was assassinated. I thought about some of his other speeches. I Have a Dream speech at the Lincoln Memorial in August of 1963. And in fact, if you pick up most newspapers today, you will find a plethora of stories regarding King's dream. Well, I greatly appreciate the significance placed on that speech in 1963. And in a few moments, several children are going to recite that very speech. A focus just on that speech shortchanges the life of King. He lived 5 years after that speech was given. In fact, of the last 4 years, every time I've been on CNN and MSNBC, I focus on something different other than that portion of the speech. Because see, as a journalist, I care about facts. And while these are often seen as unnecessary details, we must be clear that without facts, then we are just simply spouting opinion. Now, what took place in 1963 was not called the March on Washington. It was called the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. So it's kind of important not to leave the last half out because it puts the march in context. Not just that, he talked about marching on the nation's capital, that African Americans were demanding that the federal government, the same one that had African Americans paying taxes, the same one that sent black men into battle, yet treated them as if they were the enemy when they came back home. He said, give us the respect accorded every American. See, if you read the first two-thirds of the speech, you'll understand what the last third meant. Just last week, I was talking to CNN Soledad O'Brien. She finished a five-part series on the private papers of King, and she talked about seeing the only copy of that speech. And first and foremost, it was not called the I Have a Dream speech. It was actually called Normalcy Never Again. You see, I got to go to black church right now because to put you understand what the I Have a Dream part. See, in the black church, that's called the hoop part. See, that's the part where folks say yeah and amen and hallelujah and they stand up and they start shouting. That's what we call the hoop part. But see, the thesis of the sermon was the earlier part. That's why when normally you're in church, they give you the scripture first, then they preach, then the hoop, then they collect your money because then you're all happy and you can then pay. Because the hoop, that's the part where the pastor sort of leans back and, you know, he grabs the podium and begins to, you know, thunder and begin to say what needs to be said. And that's pretty much what King did. But he talked about the economic realities of being black in America. And so when you see that speech, you understand what that actually means. Because he said America gave African Americans a check stamp insufficient funds. And so he understood that you could not have civil rights without economic rights, because that means you had no rights at all. I could give a speech talking about nonviolence and how important nonviolence was. But instead, I choose to see Dr. King in a different vein. The theme today is called The Road Less Traveled, and I prefer to call him something that we dare not mention. And that is, King was one of America's greatest revolutionaries. Now, I know we don't like to see King that way because we have taken King and placed him on a mantle that many of us cannot touch. We see him as the country preacher. Southern drawl, waxing poetic, sharing the passions and emotions of a people beaten down by the evils of Jim Crow. Maybe part of our problem is when we think of revolutionaries, we think of H.R.A.P. Brown and Eldridge Cleaver and Huey Newton and the Black Panthers. We think about their afros and their berets and their guns and their black gloves, and we think that's a black revolutionary. Maybe we think about Mr. Black Power, Stokely Carmichael, one of the leaders of SNCC, who spoke for a generation of young African Americans who did not necessarily embrace King's nonviolence. Maybe we think about other folks when we think of a revolutionary. So, as somebody who barely got a college degree, skated on in, but it's all right, still got the sheet of paper, it's mine, looked up revolutionary. And first, as an adjective, it means markedly new or introducing radical change. A revolutionary discovery, radical political views, or of or relating to or characteristic of causing an axial or orbital turn. As a noun, it means a radical supporter of political or social revolution. See, in fact, King was both. He was someone who was part of a social revolution. I call it a moral uprising that caused an axial or orbital turn in the history of this nation and even the world. What King did was lead this nation to turn away from its wicked ways and to force bigots to see themselves for who they really were, fake patriots who were unwilling to extend basic human rights to fellow Americans. See, we've got to redefine how we look at King, because see, today you've got politicians who will easily quote King but will not support the positions he advocated. We've got individuals who will talk about all men are created equal, but they will not stand up and fight for equal funding when it comes to our schools. Oh, trust me, they know about the education that poor and minority students are receiving compared to rich suburban, namely white school districts. But you see, it's easier to quote King than to walk like a king. A few weeks ago, there was a shooting in New York City. Sean Bell shot 50 times by several police officers. There was a massive march led down the streets of New York, namely led by black preachers. I wonder where white clergy was on that day. I wonder if they read King's letter from a Birmingham jail to understand what their responsibility is. Because see, police brutality, racial profiling is not a black thing. It's not a white thing. It's not a male thing. It's not a female thing. It's an American dilemma. See, folks, it's easier to talk like a king than walk like a king. It's easier to dress like a king than it is to work like a king. It amazes me when I see American politicians who call themselves compassionate conservatives and loving liberals and stand back and watch as hundreds die in the ravaging waters of Hurricane Katrina. You tell me, where were their words on King when that happened? Were those the people King was talking about when he planned the Poor People's Campaign in the last year of his life? If we're going to change this nation, then it's time that each and every one of us start living like a king. Now, if you came here to soothe your soul and to tell your friends that I attended a King Day event, then you wasted your time, you wasted my time. Frankly, the words are meaningless if there is no action. I sort of look at King Day sort of like a married couple that renews their vows every year, where you reaffirm your commitment to one another and to those marriage vows. See, this is the day that you are supposed to reaffirm your commitment to the movement. This is the day that you're supposed to reaffirm your commitment to righteousness, to justice, to equality for every person. That's what this day is. It's simply not just to attend an event, to go to a breakfast, to say it was nice and wonderful, yet come January 16th, you return to the same life that you previously had. Remember the name of the speech, Normalcy, No More. To the elders, stop saying you've done enough. Rosa Parks was 42 when she chose not to get up. So don't tell me you're too tired to keep fighting. To the young people, stop looking for somebody else to lead you. On Friday, Harold Belafonte spoke in Chicago, and he spoke to a group of young people for 4.5 hours on Thursday night. And he told them that, understand, you are not going to find another king, because keep in mind, Martin Luther King was 26 years old when he led the Montgomery bus boycott. Andrew Young, Hosea Williams, Jesse Jackson, they were all 18, 19, 20 years old when they involved in the movement. There was no blueprint. There was nothing for them to follow. They simply followed God's will and what they were supposed to do. So if you're young, stop looking for someone else to lead you. Look in the mirror. That's where you'll find the leader. Let me be perfectly clear. I don't stand before you as a Republican. I don't stand before you as a Democrat. I surely don't stand before you as a conservative, and I definitely don't stand before you as a liberal. I'm an American. I'm an African American. I'm a Christian man, a man whose back isn't bent, a man who refuses to be relegated to second-class citizenship. You are looking at a free black man. But I wonder how many of us are actually free. wonder how many of us still hold on to our past thoughts, how we are so sophisticated in burying exactly what we feel about somebody else. You know, Michael Richards did a very good job of that for 30 or some odd years. But one thing set him off in a comedy club, and it all came rushing out, as he said, like a freight train. But that's what we do. We suppress what we really feel. I always said if it wasn't in you, there was no need for you to suppress it. So if he had dealt with it, he would have no need to apologize. See, again, that's what happens when you choose to walk like a king instead of just talking like a king. You've got to make a decision today as to how you're going to live the rest of your life. King lived his 39 years. He put his time in. When he died, the doctor said his heart appeared as if it was a man who was in the middle of his 60s. He was 39 when he died. He paid the price with his life, but I wonder how many of us will actually pay the price. In fact, some of us may ask for change if we had to pay the price. One of my favorite movies was The Untouchables. And there was a scene in that movie where the character played by Kevin Costner looks at Sean Connery and says, I want to do everything in my power to get Al Capone. And he said, what are you prepared to do? He said, anything and everything. He said, then what are you prepared to do? And every time I see that movie, I think about 1 Kings when Elijah was talking to the prophets of Baal. When he said, there are only two ways. If God is God, follow him. If Baal is Baal, follow him. Then he said, the people said nothing. In many ways, God is trying to say, you have got to make a decision. You've got to make up your mind. And that's frankly where we stand. See, a revolutionary named King made a decision. He chose to follow God and not follow Baal. How many of us are in that same predicament, afraid to make a decision, afraid to do something? You're saying, well, I don't have enough money. I'm not an elected official. I'm not a preacher. But the bottom line is the people who changed the nation, they were not professors. They were not just ministers. They were folks who changed bedpans. They were people who made up beds. They were folks who shined shoes. That's who changed this country. See, I made my decision a long time ago. I wasn't born when King was alive. He was killed April 4th, 1968. I was born November 14th, 1968. So I'm part of the post-Civil Rights Movement generation. And I refuse to allow somebody to continue to focus just on, well, here's what King did and here's what Young did. This is 2007. And each and every person who's hearing my voice sitting in here on television, on radio, now is the time for you to make a decision. And just like Elijah told the prophets of Baal, just like Sean Connery told Kevin Costner, The Untouchables, the question is, what are you prepared to do? And there's only one person who can answer that question, and that is you. And you don't have to wait until next week. You can start right now. You can decide right now, what am I going to do to be a revolutionary like King? What am I going to do to change the condition of this city, of this state, of this nation, of this world? And let me say this, if you choose not to make a decision, that's fine. Just do me a favor, get the hell out of the way, because the rest of us got some work to do.
You will remember the name, yes, Roland S. Martin. Give him a hand, please. Just days after being sworn in as the 44th governor of the state of Wisconsin on January 6th, 2003, he issued from this very podium his first state proclamation in tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. His presence here today and that of his wife, Jessica, is a resounding affirmation of his commitment to justice and equality for all residents of Wisconsin, particularly those for Wisconsin children. Newly sworn in for his second term this past January 3rd, it is my pleasure to present to you Wisconsin Governor Jim Doyle.
Jonathan, thank you for the very kind introduction, and thank you for all that you have done this year and over all the years to make this celebration here in Wisconsin so meaningful to the people of this state. Jonathan Overy has been a dear friend of mine for many years, and again, I thank him for all that he has done. To Mr. Martin, welcome to Wisconsin. Thank you for your inspirational words, a message that we will carry forward as we in the next year make sure that we are committed to honoring the memory of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Jessica and I are pleased to be with you once again to honor those that continue to fight for Dr. King's vision. As Jonathan mentioned, 4 years ago, this was the first proclamation that I signed, having just taken office as governor of this wonderful state. And I've signed a few proclamations in between over those 4 years, but I am honored to be here once again. Dr. King had a tremendous vision for this country. He saw America's mission as just and its potential as great. He led by example and made it his life's work to solve the injustices that he saw all around him. And he did everything he could, and he did it better than any American in our history, to stir the conscience of this great nation. In one of his final sermons, Dr. King said that we will accomplish nothing until people of goodwill put their bodies and souls in motion. And that is why we are gathered today. That is why we honor the individuals who have made such great contributions today. And I thank all of you here for your efforts and applaud everyone for your commitment to serving others and achieving Dr. King's vision. As we celebrate the life and legacy of Dr. King, we must remember him as obviously as an impassioned political figure. He was a man who shined the spotlight on injustices and charted a brighter course for our society. We are all never going to measure up to Martin Luther King's abilities as an orator. But the best way that we can celebrate his life and legacy is not just to remember his incredible words, but to emulate his progressive actions. It is not enough to simply state our support for the values we hold sacred here in Wisconsin. We must fight for those values. Hard, honest work, a sense of community, our concern for others, and a commitment to educating future generations. Wisconsin, at its best, has always strived to be a place where all citizens, regardless of their race, ethnicity, or background, can work hard and prosper. I know that we cannot leave any talent on the sidelines, that the future of this state depends on us finding talent everywhere. You know, and it's amazing what happens when you look for talent everywhere. I am proud that my administration has had the most diverse cabinet in the United States. And I am proud that as I set forth on a second term, that four of our cabinet secretaries in our most important positions are African American. Michael Morgan, the new Secretary of the Department of Administration with jurisdiction over the Capitol that we're sitting in here today. Antonio Riley, the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority. I'm pleased to be joined here today by Roger Irvin, the new Secretary of the Department of Revenue, and Celia Jackson, the Secretary of Regulation and Licensing. Let me tell you how this happened. It didn't happen because I went out with any kind of numbers in my mind, and it didn't happen because I went out and said, I'm going to get one of these and one of these and one of these. It happened because I was determined to make sure that we looked for talent everywhere. And you know, when you look for talent everywhere, it's pretty obvious what you find. Wisconsin is a state where all people can get a good education and gain the tools and resources they need to go as far as their hard work and talents will take them. And where any person armed with a good idea and willing to roll up his or her sleeves and get to work can succeed. That's why over the next year, we are going to take some strong, achievable steps here in this state. We will expand Badger Care to make sure that every child in Wisconsin has access to comprehensible and affordable health care. We will launch the Wisconsin Covenant, a promise to every eighth grader in this state that if they make a promise to us that they will go to high school, maintain a B average, be good citizens, and take the courses they need to go to higher education, we will make a promise to them right in eighth grade that if they achieve those basic goals, we will guarantee a position for them in our university system and will work with each family individually to ensure that they can afford that college education. I don't want any young person in the state of Wisconsin to say, college isn't for me. That's just for rich people. I can't get there. That's too far out of my reach. I want each child in this state to have a contract that they can hold up that says, if I do A, B, C, and D, I am going to college. And we are going to accomplish that in Wisconsin. Through our Get Started, Get Growing initiative to promote minority-owned businesses, we will build new companies and economic strength in all corners of this state. We know there are challenges ahead, and frankly, in Wisconsin, we know that one of them is very simply that far too many of our citizens, particularly African-American males, are serving their time in prisons rather than learning in our schools or succeeding in the workplace. We cannot sit by and simply let this continue. Over the next years, we will take further steps to make sure we bring real change. And today I am announcing my plans that in the budget I am about to introduce, we will have a commission specifically directed at how we reduce the incarceration rates among African American males in Wisconsin. And this isn't just about being nice or being fair. This is about making sure that a lot of talented people make sure their lives are going in the right direction where we can really use those talents rather than sitting in our prisons and jails. So it is time. It is time that we celebrate the life and legacy of Dr. King and that we recommit ourselves to achieving his vision. And in working together, we will meet the challenges of 2007 and build one future in Wisconsin, one that is better and brighter for all of us. And so on this day, as I say, it's not the first one anymore, but I am honored that the first one I ever signed was the proclamation of Martin Luther King Day 4 years ago. So for a lot of whereases that you've already heard, I hereby declare that now, therefore, I, Jim Doyle, Governor of the State of Wisconsin, do hereby proclaim January 15th, 2007, as Dr. Martin Luther King Day in the state of Wisconsin, and I commend its observance to all citizens. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, you know we go through this every year. For 26 years, this proclamation has been handed out to the people of the state of Wisconsin, and for 26 years it has always come back. So I'm going to hand it to one of you over here, and please get a chance, if you will, to take a look at it. Thank you, sir. And we want it to go all the way around the room, and someone over here will hopefully bring it back, all right? Please give our governor and our first lady, Jessica Doyle, a hand. They're both here today. We thank you. In 1968, he was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee on April 4th. And only a day after he had preached, "I don't fear any man. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." He was gunned down by an assassin's bullet while standing on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel. With bagpipes and our honor guard, Prince Hall Capital City Masonic Lodge No. 2, please stand in tribute not only to Dr. King, but in memory of his wife, Coretta Scott King, Rosa Parks, and all the civil rights workers who paid the ultimate price for freedom. And yes, even soul singer James Brown, whose song, "Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud," offered Americans a new sense of self-worth.
Wisconsin's annual Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Heritage Award is given to organizations and individuals that sustain the legacy of Dr. King's work by creating social justice programs and through building relationships among diverse communities. The 2007 award recipient was selected because of this organization's dedicated work with the African American Jewish Task Force in Milwaukee, the Hands Across Campus Project, and their No Hate Symbol campaign. The African American Jewish Task Force works to build diverse community relationships and address issues of mutual concern. Activities include an annual Passover Seder, organized discussion forums, and cultural events. Hands Across the Campus teaches secondary school students who participate about intolerance and how to combat bigotry. And the No Hate Symbol campaign, started in 2002, is a response to activity by hate groups such as the KKK. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, it is my pleasure to announce the Milwaukee chapter of the American Jewish Committee is the 2007 recipient of the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Heritage Award. Here to accept the award is Harriet Schachter McKinney, the chapter director.
Well, I was told that I had exactly 1 minute. And that's the amount of time I'm going to take. I want to thank the state of Wisconsin for recognizing our work. What we have figured out in Milwaukee is that an injury to one is an injury to all, and that we can be allies to each other in unlearning and standing up to anti-Semitism, racism, homophobia, the oppression of young people, the oppression of the elderly, ableism, and anything else that dehumanizes any of us. We ask you to look around the room and notice the allies you have here, and to borrow on the courage of Dr. Martin Luther King and Coretta Scott King to do the work you need to do to climb over the lies and myths and misinformation you have learned about people different from yourselves, and realize that indeed we are all one human family, all brothers and sisters, connected at the heart and connected at the soul. You heard my granddaughter a few minutes ago crying, and I think she's saying to me, Bubby, which is what I'm called, you started singing We Shall Overcome right here in this city as a college student. And you believed that your children would never have to sing that song. And today, we're still singing this. Maybe it's because we say someday instead of today. Thank you.
In 1963, Dr. King delivered one of the century's most noted speeches, I Have a Dream. It was delivered to an audience of over 250,000 demonstrators on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in our nation's capital. It has been our long-standing tradition to include children in this annual celebration of Dr. King's life, and this year is no different. In fact, we have two youngsters. Here are Sandra Kaditz, who is 11, and Ida Mills, 10. Both are homeschooled.
And so, even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream.
It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
I have a dream that one day on the Red Hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood.
I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice.
I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
I have a dream today.
I have a dream that one day down in Alabama, with its vicious racists,
one day, right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers.
I have a dream today.
I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted and every hill and mountain shall be made low.
The rough places will be made plain and the crooked places will be made straight.
And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together.
This is our hope, and this is the faith I go back to the South with.
With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope.
With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood.
With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day.
And this will be the day, this will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring.
And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true.
And so, let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire.
Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York.
Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania.
Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado.
Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California.
But not only that.
Let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia.
Let freedom ring from the Lookout Mountain of Tennessee.
Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi.
From every mountainside, let freedom ring.
And when this happens, when we allow freedom to ring,
when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet,
from every state and every city,
we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children,
black men and white men,
Jews and Gentiles,
Protestants and Catholics,
will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual.
Free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty, we are free at last!
Once again, here is Milwaukee's All Saints Gospel Choir with a special arrangement of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And as they set themselves, I'd like to ask you to give yourselves a round of applause. How has the program gone so far this year? Here they are from Milwaukee, the All Saints Gospel Choir with a special arrangement of the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
The glory of the coming of the Lord. He is traveling out the vintage where the grace of a wrath are stored. He has loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible sweet soul.
Milwaukee's All Saints Gospel Choir, Arlene Skaronski, director. Well, Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin, there you have it. That was our 27th annual tribute and ceremony for Dr. Martin Luther King. Any final words of wisdom?
We got to do the work. We got to be inspired by the day, and we got to do the work.
All right. Give Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin a hand for emceeing with me today. With that, on behalf of Governor Jim Doyle, our guest speaker, Roland S. Martin, our performing artists, sponsors, dais guests, and we want to thank you for being part of this annual tradition. We'll see you Monday, January 21st, 2008. I'm Jonathan Overby. May your day be filled with peace and harmony. Until next time, have a great day. Thanks.